Today, here's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about surrender. That has to be a part of your life in 2021. Surrender. And surrender is about following the steps that the Lord Jesus is leading you to take. Surrender. Surrendering your life to the Lord. Yielding your life to what God has for you. Surrender. Now, you may not have noticed this, but there is a recent traffic development where we're now seeing intersections that don't have conventional stop signs and stoplights. We're seeing more and more traffic circles, or sometimes called roundabouts. Now, there are people that feel like this is another safe way to get people through intersections, but it's more attractive than some of the other conventional means. So you'll see sometimes a green space, or there might be a fountain inside of that circle. Now, the first time I ever encountered one of these, I was in seminary years ago in Fort Worth, where there's an area called Blue Bonnet Circle. And so someone had told me, you can get your hair cut at a place on Blue Bonnet Circle. Now, here's the thing. I was a country boy from Arkansas. I'd never seen a traffic circle before. So when I got off up in this traffic circle, it took me 3 full revolutions to figure out how to get off this thing, right? Now, traffic circles, roundabouts, they're not new in other countries. In fact, they've been around for a long time. We were on an international trip a few years ago, and we were riding in a taxi cab. And the cab driver on his dashboard had this interesting array of collectibles. There were like troll dolls, soccer team mascots, trinkets from different tribes. And then there was this Mother Mary statue like right in the middle of the dashboard. Now, as we were driving, we came up near one of these traffic circles. And you wouldn't believe the whirling vortex of humanity. There were cars going everywhere, beep, 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 honking their horns. There were people in carts being pulled by donkeys. There were people with the little pedicab things. There were bicycles and mopeds. It was just a mass of humanity trying to navigate this circle. And our taxi driver pulled up to that circle, reached up, grabbed the Mother of Mary statue, and then she offered some kind of prayer, and then just punched it, man. And we were, boom, we were right in the middle of this swirling force of humanity. And somehow he knew how to navigate, pick the lane, and jump off the thing, because we ended up at the right spot. Now, here's the thing for me. Traffic circles are still confusing. I don't know what lane to be in. I don't know who has the right of way. I don't know who's supposed to yield. It's really confusing to me. Red, yellow, green, I get that. But the traffic circle, that's confusing. So listen. In the circle of life, we all have to navigate intersections, and there are on-ramps, and there are off-ramps, and there's so many different lanes, and there's opportunities to turn, and there's people with opinions about what you do and what you don't do. And so intersections in life's kind of traffic circles are confusing places. And so today I want to suggest to you there is an operational standard. If you can let this kind of get in your mind and heart, it's going to help you in navigating life's intersections, its turns, its lanes, its on-ramps, its off-ramps. This is the operating procedure you need to learn. Listen to it carefully. Surrender. Learn how to surrender your life to the Lord. Learn how to yield to God's steps for your life. Learn how to surrender. That's what we're going to talk about today. One of my favorite Bible verses, it's a go-to verse for me, builds a lot of confidence in my life as I'm walking with the Lord, is Psalm 37, 23. Listen to this. It says, "The steps of a man are ordered by the Lord." Everybody say that with me. "The steps of a man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way." You know what that means? That means the Lord takes joy in being part of your life journey. He loves being involved with your life. He loves bringing direction and showing you which way to go and which path to take and what lane to be in and where you need to turn. God loves to bring direction to your life. And listen, we've got to learn how to surrender to him, to follow the steps that he has for our life. So I want to turn to a place in the scripture. I want you to see this incredible wisdom nugget to help you in your surrender. It's found in the book of Proverbs. So if you've got your Bible, turn to Proverbs chapter 23. If you're looking for Proverbs, you can go to the table of contents. It lists the books of the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament. Proverbs is an Old Testament book. It'll give you a page number. You can turn right to it. If you're on your phone or iPad, you can go to BibleGateway.com, type in Proverbs 23. It'll take you right to our passage. Now, if you're familiar with Proverbs, this is a collection of like wisdom nuggets. When you read through the Proverbs, they just stand out as these very quotable statements that speak truth into your life. And when you read them, they're like, they're so rich. They're so crisp. They speak. They're so quotable. It's like, you know, retweet. You really want to pass that along to somebody else because it's so good, so helpful. Here's one of those. Proverbs chapter 23. Look at verse 26. It says, "Oh, my son, give me your heart. May your eyes take delight in following my ways." They were talking about surrender. This is a helpful verse. Look at it again. "Oh, my son, give me your heart. May your eyes take delight in following my ways." Now, this is originally written father to son, where a father wants to say to his aging son, listen, as you go through life, you're going to find yourself in intersections. You're going to have to navigate some tricky stuff. And son, if you'll listen to me, I can help you. I can help you with that. Now, I'm wondering if there's any parents in the room of teenagers and young adults where you feel like you could help your kids out if they would just listen to you. Anybody feeling that? Yeah, if you just listen, I could probably help you out. Well, this is a dad saying to his son, I want to help you. I got some things that I can show you that will help you, but you're going to have to listen to me. You have to give me your heart. Now, this is originally a dad to a son, but let me tell you why the Holy Spirit inspired these words. Because these words accurately represent your heavenly Father's perspective with you and with me. And the father is saying, I can help you out, but you've got to give me your heart and incline your eyes in the direction that I have for you. Now, let's break this down. Make sure we get it. So the first part of this is just this phrase right here. Give me your heart. To give your heart means that you're entrusting your heart to someone. And so this is deep, deep surrender. You're surrendering your heart to someone. Give me your heart. Now, when you became a follower of Jesus, when you became a Christian, it involved giving God your heart. Often that's how we describe someone who becomes a Christian. They gave their heart to Jesus. My spouse gave their heart to Jesus. My friend gave his heart to Jesus. It's how we describe this relational experience of coming into salvation. You give God your heart. Now, in the surrender of your heart, that's like you saying, all of me, Lord. I'm not holding anything back. I give all of you to me. I surrender my heart to you. As you surrender your heart to the Lord also gives you some things. You surrender, you give your heart, but he gives you some things. He gives you forgiveness. He gives you the gift of salvation. He gives you the gift of the Holy Spirit to live inside of you. It's a precious dynamic of relationship, spiritual, supernatural. You give God your heart and you experience salvation. Now, that's the beginning of your faith walk. But the idea of giving God your heart is not a one and done kind of thing. Nobody can go, oh yeah, give God your heart. I did that like when I was in the third grade. Giving God your heart has to be a continuing process, day by day, situation by situation. It doesn't mean like you're getting saved all over again and again and again. It just means as you're walking the path of life, listen, stuff happens and your heart gets cold. It gets hard and it gets bitter. And there are needs for us to just kind of have those moments where we just give God our heart in fresh ways. Listen, when you walk through life, you can get hurt relationally. You can get hurt. You can get wounded at work. People can disappoint you. And the consequence, your heart gets heavy. It gets hard. It gets bitter. And we all need moments where we have these fresh points of surrender, where we give God our heart. We entrust our heart again to the Lord. So let me ask you a few questions. As you think about your heart, does the Lord have all your heart today? Is your heart fully surrendered to him? Are you trusting your heart with the Lord, with your life journey? Are there some interesting intersections that are happening in your life right now? And does the Lord have your heart in that? Or would you say your heart's grown bitter? And you just feel, man, you just feel the need in a fresh way to give your heart to the Lord. So, give him your heart. Here's the next part of this. May your eyes take delight in. What that means is we see what the Lord has for us, like he's directing our steps, he's leading our life, we see what the Lord has for us, and we take delight in it. We look at it and there's a joy that comes to us realizing that the Lord has provided our next steps, and those steps are established by someone who knows you best and loves you most. So the result of seeing where God is leading you is it brings delight. It brings joy because you trust where God is leading you. Now, if you're a parent, you've had this frustration of being second-guessed by your kids. You know, you give them some instruction, you give them some direction, and parents are not without their faults, but for the most part, they're working hard to try to do best by you because they know you well and they love you. And so as a parent, as you're like, this is what needs to happen, as you're showing that what we would like is just say thank you. Just say thank you instead of second guessing me all the time. And as it relates to the Lord, God has steps for us to take, and they are good because they are built, they are established out of his understanding of who you are and what you need, and he loves you. So delight. should come to our hearts as we have confidence in God's steps for our life. Listen, the disciples, Jesus' original disciples, were one time struggling with the next steps that the Lord had for them. And so Jesus said to them in John 14, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, and believe also in me." There are moments for all of us when we look at what God has for us and we're either not sure, or our spirit is troubled. I don't know how that's all going to work out. And so there's an invitation in those moments to just, come on, remember that you believe in the Lord. I trust Him. My hope is in Him. My confidence and my joy rooted in His goodness. And so I take delight in what God has planned for me. Now listen, if you are trusting God for your eternal destiny, don't you think you can trust Him for today's destination? Huh? So let's take delight in where God is leading us. And then this last part of it, let's go back, please. Thank you very much. Following my ways. Following His ways is all about, listen, putting foot to path. This is about doing what God is directing. Because, listen, it's possible for God to have your heart and for you to know that the path that God has for you is good because it's what God has for you. You can know that and still not surrender. He can have your heart. And you can know it's best, but still not do, not go where He is directing. Surrender, listen to this, isn't complete until it involves your feet. You have to actually put foot to path and surrender by following His ways. Follow it. Go there. One of the ways that we'd find a disciple in this house is someone who turns to follow Jesus. You're on a path. You go in your own way. But you hear Jesus call to follow Him, and you turn from following your way to follow His way. That's a disciple, and there's real fruit-bearing change that comes with that core commitment to follow Jesus. Now, notice that we have to turn from our way and follow His way. That's what's part of being a disciple. Psalm 32, verse 8 tells us, all disciples, listen to this. This is the Lord talking. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. God has a direction for your life that He's going to lead you, but we have to go in that direction. And sometimes where we want to go and where God is leading us is opposite directions. Now, I don't know if you've learned this lesson or not, but it's absolutely true. God's way is not always our way. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9 say, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Now, that doesn't mean we always get it wrong. Sometimes what we desire, what we want, lines up with what God wants for us. But this verse puts us on notice that a lot of times our desire, our heart is one thing, but God has something else in mind, and whatever God knows, wants, desires for us is best, and we are best if we just follow His way. Even if you don't understand it, it doesn't make sense, you can't see it coming together, your best lesson in life is find out where God is leading and follow Him. Now, I think that lesson Where's God leading and following him no matter what is tucked inside of the very first thing that Jesus commands new Christians to do, which is baptism. When Jesus was commissioning the disciples to go about their ministry, he said, therefore, go make disciples of all the nations, look at this, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. So Jesus says, as you go out and you make disciples, one of the first things that you do is baptize them. The reason I think that they are baptized is one of the first actions of obedience is because baptism, listen to this, is a tone setter for your faith walk. If you've ever watched someone being baptized, it's kind of a weird experience. They're put all the way under the water. They're brought up out of the water. And you look at that and you think, why would Jesus put so much emphasis on that being the way people introduce their faith walk? It's a little strange. And it's incredibly unflattering. You see people come up out of the water. Their hair is now all down in their face. They're kind of pulling the water out of their face, snot running down their nose. It's not a flattering personal moment. And so you kind of look at all that. There's a beautiful symbolism. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ is symbolized in that action. What's true of you spiritually is symbolized in that action. You were dead in your sins, but Christ has raised you to walk in a new life. The symbolism is beautiful. It's just the moment is awkward and weird. Why would Jesus put this early in a Christian's faith walk? How is it a tone setter? Because my friend, baptism will not be the last weird thing God asked you to do. There's a lot of things that God invites us to do, to follow, that won't make sense, that are awkward to understand. And if you position yourself to only follow when you get it, you ain't walking very far. You have to be willing to prioritize following Jesus, trusting Jesus, even when it doesn't make sense to you. Surrender. Give him your heart. Take delight in what he has for you. And put foot to path. Follow him. Now, we all need moments to just freshen up our surrender. In just a few seconds, we're going to kind of have a little worship time to cap our time together today to just help us have a declaration, just to declare our surrender to the Lord. But before we do that, let me offer just a few little surrender sound bites, just a few little things to kind of help you position yourself to surrender in the next moment, all right? So here's the first one. We've got to know the difference between surrendering to yourself and surrendering to God. I'm convinced a lot of times what we surrender to is our own desires. We have a preference, we have a plan, we have things we want to do, and so we surrender to our own way. Now listen, there's nothing wrong with having some plans and some desires. Jesus had plans and desires. In fact, there was an occasion where it looked like Jesus' plans and desires were going to conflict with Father's plans and desires for Jesus. And there's this powerful moment where Jesus verbalizes what he wants. This is what I want. But in his prayer, he says, nevertheless, I'm not going to surrender to what I want. I'll surrender to what you want. So we all have our desires. We all have our plans. We all have our preferences. You've just got to make sure that you are surrendering to God's desires and not just your desires. And can I say that I'm about sick and tired of us as God's people, of surrendering to our own desires and blaming everything on God. God told me. God told me. And the reality is we're just doing what we want to do, and we blame it on him. Now, there's a very helpful way to know the difference between surrendering to your own desires and surrendering to God's desires. When you experience that, watch this. The Lord is going to provide like direction in your life so that, listen, it aligns with your spirit and his word, and that's going to give you peace. There's something in your spirit that kind of nods. Yeah, yeah. And it lines up with God's word. In other words, God's never going to give you direction that runs counter to anything that he's already revealed in Scripture. So it lines up with Scripture. It lines up with us, and it gives me peace. Some of the things, listen, that God directs us to do are going to be hard. They're going to be difficult. But you can embrace it because there's peace deep within your heart. I can do that. I can go there because I've got peace in my heart. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7 says, "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Surrendering to God's way will give you peace. It might not be easy, but you'll have peace. That's why a lot of times when someone is sharing with me kind of their dilemma, like I'm trying to figure out what God wants me to do, this is what I think, you'll often hear me ask a question. Do you have peace? Well, it makes sense, but I'm not sure I have peace. Then I wouldn't move. I wouldn't step, I wouldn't go unless my heart has peace. And peace comes from God lining that up with your spirit and his word. Peace. It will guard your path. Second soundbite. The Holy Spirit will help you surrender. God's ways, being different and higher than our ways, sometimes feels like they're out of reach. Like, I can't do that. But the Holy Spirit has been given as a gift to you so that you have the ability to surrender and do what God is directing you to do. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20 says, "Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God?" When you became a follower of Jesus, he put his spirit within you, and his presence and power enables you to surrender to God. So whatever it is that God is directing, you can surrender to it because the Holy Spirit will help you. Number three, and this one doesn't take a lot of commentary, surrender separates talkers and walkers. We all know people, sometimes it's us, who can talk the surrender talk. Let go, let God. That's cute. Surrender is one of those things we can easily encourage others to do, but a little harder for ourselves. But it's critical that we're not just talkers of surrender, but we're also walkers of surrender. Listen to how much Jesus prioritized our surrender walk, Matthew 10:38, "And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me." So we don't want to be surrender talkers without walking it out. Get her done. Last one. Surrender leads to our most fruitful experiences of life. I'm telling you, some of the most painful moments of my life are when I said, "Yes, Lord, yes." Some of the most difficult steps forward I've had to take are in surrender to Jesus. But every one of them, were they painful? Yes, but they were fruitful. some of the sweetest, most precious things came out of those moments of surrender. And I promise you, there's always God's pot of gold at the end of your surrender rainbow. Listen to how Jesus described it. He said, "Truly, truly, I say to you," I'm not jiving you. "Truly, I'm saying this to you. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone." What a word from Jesus, because a lot of times when we surrender, it feels like dying. Dying to a dream. Dying to a hope. Dying to a vision. Dying to a relationship. Dying to a career. Sometimes in surrendering, it feels like dying. But if it dies, it brings much fruit. Never underestimate the hand of God and the power of God and the touch of God that will rest on your surrender. It may be painful, but it will be fruitful.